Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I catch up with Neralee Black, and Neralee has been on the podcast before. We interviewed her about 3 months earlier to the recording of this episode, and Neralee ended up coming in second place for the Maxine's September Challenge. And in today's episode, we talk all about her transformation experience, both physically and emotionally and mentally. And we talk a lot about how we change ourselves as we change our bodies and we change our priorities and we change our values. And sometimes that means that we change the people that are around us. So we talk a lot about the importance of community and other support groups that are around you. So if you find that you're in a transitional period where you are changing your priorities because you're starting to get into shape, you're starting to get fitter, you're starting to prioritize healthy living, and maybe the people around you don't have the same priorities as you, this is the episode I want you to listen to. So sit back, relax, and let's welcome Neralee Black. What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. Today, I'm joined with Neralee Black, and Neralee was our Maxine runner-up in the September Challenge. Neralee, welcome back to the Challenge Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
I'm so excited to catch up with you since last time we chatted, and we chatted in week 4 of the September Challenge, which at the time of this recording was about 3 or 4 months ago. Since then, you know, you've made such an amazing transformation in your body and you really evolved as a person and integrated yourself into the community and achieved an amazing result. Yeah, coming in the runner-up spot in the Maxine Challenge. Would you like to speak a little bit about what's happened since we spoke in week 4, which seems like a while ago, till now? Do you want to give us a little bit of a story about what's happening with you?
So much has changed. I feel like a completely new person now. So week 4, I still feel like I was stuck in that mentality of like, if I do this, I'm going to get sick or I'm going to get unwell. And, you know, I was just starting to kind of believe that I can do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, wow, that's just changed so much. I don't feel like a sick person. You know, there's a challenge put to me. I've given everything I've got and nothing has happened. I haven't gotten sick or anything. And my confidence has just skyrocketed. Like, it's just so good.
Yeah. Now, if someone's listening to this and they maybe missed out on listening to that podcast from a while ago, would you like to give us maybe a brief introduction of you, like where you're from and what you were alluding to from week 4 around that sickness that you had, those medical conditions that you had? Do you want to speak briefly about that?
Sure. So I was never diagnosed with anything. It was just like an autoimmune condition and they're still going to do some more testing into that. But I spent a good deal of time being very unwell. And every time I would do anything that would push me too far, I'd get too stressed. I would end up being unwell again for another month or two. So I've always kind of said, like, I didn't know if it was mind over matter and that I was just not living a healthy life and full of negativity and that that can bring along physiological symptoms. But all of that, touch wood, is gone. So, yes.
That's amazing. So I guess you kind of just alluded to it then. You're not too sure if it was, you know, that physical side, if it was the nutritional side or if that mental side. But in general, you do feel like a new person and you've encompassed that transformation that we say in the challenge. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's life-changing.
Life-changing. You know, at the time of this recording here, we're in January. Would you like to give us a bit of an update with your health and you're feeling quite strong and healthy and your body transformation has been really good? Do you want to give us a bit of an update about what you've been up to recently?
Sure. Well, I've actually been a little bit slack. It has been January and Christmas. But yeah, I'm still training. And I found out that the leg press has actually got like 40 to 70 kilos on top of your weight. So I think when I was talking to you, I was excited that I'd done 160, but it turns out it's more like 220. So very excited. Been talking to John about squats as well, and I sent him a video and he kind of went through technique and said that my technique was good, so that gave me a big confidence boost. And back in week 4, I was concerned about my back and doing squats, so now, yeah, I'm pushing those and pushing more weight on them as well. So, yeah, it's really good.
That's amazing. Now, I kind of wanted to talk about the results that you achieved, and
I wanted to ask you generally, you know, what did you do to achieve that amazing result? You know, were you training really hard? Were you eating really well? Like, was it the community that was around you? Like, what was it that made you achieve such an amazing transformation?
Well, thank you. Your nice words. I did everything to the letter. I was so disciplined. I once put 5 grams of extra bananas into my smoothie and my daughter pulled me up like, uh-uh. She was like, take it out. And I was like, but it's 5 grams. So that was my big cheat there. One time I ate a little bit of steak on chicken night.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? So bad. And when I went to the gym, like, I would make sure that I got the best workout that I could. So if I did my set and just like easy numbers, say I did it at 50 kilos and at the end I was like, oh, you know what, that was easy. Scrap that, that didn't count. Put it up to 60 so that you're getting good sets out each time. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you followed the nutrition plan to the letter and, you know, you trained hard. Yes.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
So you kind of talked about how you filmed yourself cleaning a squat and then you sent it to John or John Dalnack. Did you spend any other time, you know, filming yourself doing other exercises and then like reflecting on those exercises to see if you can get better? Did you do that?
I did do a few. I didn't share them with anybody. But yeah. And that definitely helps with your confidence as well. You know, like once you have a look and you're like, oh no, that looks right. And then when you're more confident, I think you're able to load your bar up a bit more because you feel like you're doing it safely. So it's definitely a good practice.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like I've had some really good results from filming myself, you know, completing a deadlift pattern or a squat pattern and then reviewing it and going, oh, like it didn't feel right. Like let's say, you know, rep number 3 felt heavier than rep number 2. Like what was it? And you watch the video and you go, oh, I didn't pull my shoulders back. And then it's a nice reflective process. And I'm glad that you started that in your own training. And you don't need to post it on Instagram or on Facebook or anything. You know, it is good practice for yourself, right?
I also watch like your videos and everything on the deadlift because I feel like that's such an awkward movement. Like it's not so awkward now, but when you first start, it's really, it's quite unco.
Yeah.
And yeah, that shoulders back and locking in,
yeah,
that really helps.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that because I think the deadlift is such like a primary movement, you know, it's the way that we pick up things off the ground. And as we age, we kind of lose that functional pattern if we don't train it, right? And then we end up deadlifting, you know, our shoe off the ground and we're not really doing a deadlift, we're doing something else. Or when we go to pick up paper off the ground or to pick up the groceries or something, we want to be able to put ourselves in that functional pattern. And I guess my next question would be, you kind of said how you had a little bit of back discomfort going through and making sure that you're doing the exercises correctly. You know, how is your back feeling now or your body feeling now in terms of pain levels or tightness or stiffness or that symptoms that you felt?
My back's been amazing. And again, that all tied in with the actual sick feeling. It would all coincide with back pain and everything. So, but I've had like, what, 2 pain days maybe over the last however many months. My shoulder's giving me more grief than my back now. So, yeah. And I don't know if that's just because I'm building the muscles up around everything or I don't know. It's
yeah.
Been really good.
I think the subject of pain is really complex and it's very multifaceted, right? So, you know, one example would be if you're at home by yourself and you stub your toe on some furniture, you might go, oh, that hurt, and then walk away. But if you were, let's say, around your friends and you stub your toe, it might feel more painful because you've got inputs of maybe a bit of embarrassment or a bit of anger and you want to cause a bit of a scene and you're being social people. So I think pain is so multifaceted that it's quite complex. And one reason could be that you're doing the exercise more correctly. One reason could be that you maybe lost a bit of weight, so it changes some of the inflammation responses around our body. One reason could be that you've built more muscle. So very complex. But it's good to see that, you know, you're feeling stronger, both physically, performance-wise, pain's down, which is great to see.
Yeah.
Now, my next question, Neroli, is talking about community. And I see all over social media these boot camp sessions that you're doing with other people up in the Queensland area, such as Chris Forden. Can you speak a little bit about how that started and what you guys have been doing in those sessions?
Yeah, so we were part of that Queensland group chat and Chris and I just decided that we would hit up a training session together. And we were like, oh, well, let's chuck it out to everybody. Let's see if anybody wants to come along. And yeah, so now we meet up every Wednesday, 6:30. We'll even meet at the Rebel at Springfield, or we're going to start doing it every second week now down at Wellington Point or Manly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we absolutely welcome anybody to come along to that, more the merrier. And it's really, really good to have like-minded people that are going through the exact same thing. I mean, a lot of our training is actually just chatting and talking about what we might be struggling with and just helping each other out. So it's been really beneficial to have that physical connection as well as online.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, maybe within the challenge, we're doing a little bit of a disservice where we are all online. And I think at the end of the day, we're all people, right? We like to see other people. We like to sweat with other people. And I think real friendships are made when we, you know, share, what's that saying? Blood, sweat, and tears. Maybe not blood, but
definitely blood as well.
Definitely blood as well. Yeah, yeah. Those, that grass out there might cut you. Be careful.
Exactly. That is exactly what happened. Oh, and also, while we're talking about people, can I give a big shout out to Mr. Benjamin?
Benjamin.
He was amazing.
You want to speak about Ben and what role did he play in your transformation? How did he get involved?
He had a post up about the mentorship program that you guys run on Facebook. So I replied to him and then I chucked up an ad and he contacted me and I was like, yes, oh my gosh, I even got the one that I wanted. So yeah, I was very disciplined and stuff. So he didn't quite have to keep me on track, but he was just full of positive praise and positive feedback. And he really helped me change my mindset about so many things, especially like other people's reactions, negative reactions to me and what I was doing. And, you know, when people have a negative reaction to you, you always look at yourself and go to blame yourself. And he kind of really pointed out to me that it's something more within them and the way they're feeling about themselves. And that's just helped me so much. So
good. I'm glad Ben was able to help you through that. I'm glad that you had a good network of people that were around you to support you through that.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the transformation that you achieved, do you think that you would have been able to achieve such an amazing result if it weren't for the people around you?
That's so tricky, isn't it? Because maybe or maybe not. I think they definitely helped. Definitely helps. If you can get yourself out there, even if you just join into the Flex Fridays, like on the Facebook page, just throw yourself into it and make those connections. And this is, I don't know about you guys, but if you don't have people in the fitness industry or fitness lifestyle or whatever in your life, their interpretations of what you're doing are going to be different than people that are also doing it. And it's just been amazingly supportive and encouraging and positive having all those connections. And I think that definitely helps people thrive. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think I can relate to it in my early fitness career. And I guess the people that I were friends with were ones to want to, you know, catch up at a pub and have a pot and a palmer. Yes, we call it a palmer in Melbourne. And, you know, that would be the way that I would catch up with my friends, was to, you know, have a couple of beers on a weekend. And then once I became interested in my health and wanted to change my life, I found that I wasn't able to connect with those people. And when I was achieving fitness related things, I felt like I didn't really have anyone to talk to about that. You know, like my family weren't really interested in fitness. My friends weren't really interested in fitness. So when I squatted 100 kilos, I was like, oh, I squatted 100 kilos. This is great. I didn't really have anyone to, you know, talk to or feel excited about that with. And I'm glad that you were able to, you know, reach out to maybe new circles of friends and new communities and then be able to share some of the wins that you've been achieving. And yeah. I think that what might have happened throughout your transformation really highlights what happens with a lot of people when they do the challenge, is kind of like my story, where they find that they're starting to change their values, they change their identity, they really become a new person, not just losing the weight, they literally become a new person. They have different values and preferences and things are different in terms of what's important to them. So that ends up leading into changes in personal relationships and friends that are around us. And sometimes that's scary. You know, a lifelong friend that you've known since you were 10 now isn't really your close mate anymore. Now it's, you know, some person that you met online, which you feel more of a connection with. I guess my next part here narrowly is to ask you, you know, did you experience that type of identity change? And it sounds like you've now got this community of people who are interested in fitness and now you're like a new person. You're now narrowly the fit and healthy person rather than when you started the challenge where you were narrowly the I'm in pain, scared to go to the gym type person. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think I definitely have changed. I feel like a lot of what I wanted to achieve and the person that I wanted to be, like I wanted to be this person, was all there. But actually going through the challenge and taking all the steps and everything managed to bring that person out. So I've wanted to change my life for a very long time and, you know, like haven't had the, I don't know, the motivation or the support or anything to do it.
Yeah, I've worked with some people in the past where when I took them through strength training, took them through a squat, a deadlift and a bench press and through other resistance training methods, I remember the first person that I made cry was such a interesting moment because imagine this really buff dude, he's coming and training with me and, you know, super stoic, super strong. And then I put him through a leg press and I just pushed him harder and harder and harder and I kind of broke him. And I felt really odd because I was a teenager and here I am having a grown man crying in front of me and I didn't really know the effects of the physical side in terms of our mental side. And then when I started training more people and encouraging them to say, hey, you can do another rep on a leg press. Yes, you can squat, you can deadlift. They would then come back to me and say, oh my God, you know, Steve, like I quit my job and I owe it all to strength training. And I was like, oh God, what? I made you quit your job? What did I do? And I think that highlights that when we start to challenge certain physical sides of our life, saying, yes, I can squat, or yes, I can lose weight, yes, I can do these things, that then transfers over into our everyday life where we say, yes, you know what? I can change my life. I can change the friends that are around me. I can change my environment. I can, you know, move interstate or, you know, do whatever change has been holding us back because we kind of build this confidence, empowerment feeling through us through resistance training. And it sounds like maybe you've gone through something similar. Is that something you can relate to?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Also, so with one of the things that showed up on my scan that I had done that isn't the diagnosis, the one that needs to be followed through, mm-hmm. most people that get that have got 10 years left. So that has kind of affected every decision that I make. I highly doubt that I have it. I really do think that it was just a mistake on the MRI. But if I do only have 10 years left, then every day better be bloody good. You know, so yeah, I want to push hard and I want to live every day positively and confidently. I don't want to waste any time. Yeah. Mm. And definitely going into the gym and lifting more weights or running faster. Or I did a HIIT rep exercise and I was like, I have to redline like for majority of the exercise. That was one of my goals. And I did that. And you do walk away feeling really empowered, even though it's like a physical thing. It definitely transfers over to mental. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, talking about goals, and let's transition into goals. You know, now that the challenge is over and, you know, you've achieved such an amazing result, you know, what's your plan from here? What's your goal from here? Are you going to set yourself a crazy goal to run a marathon, or you're just going to try to keep fit and healthy? Like, what's your plan from here?
Well, I want to try out your new booty plan. I want to grow a butt.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Help me out with that one. It kind of fell off in month three. I was like, hey. Yeah, so I want to do that. I'm considering competing one day, but I don't want to do that until I feel like I'm going to walk on in place. So that might be a fair way off.
Okay. I think the decision to think about something is very different to the decision of doing something. You know, they're two different conversations. So when you're ready to do something, then you're more likely to do it, right? So if you want to now in this moment, you can make a pledge to this podcast or listening to do it rather than to just think about doing it.
Oh, that is on the spot there, Coach. Oh, I really don't like saying I'm going to do something until I am 100% going to do it. And I do want to do it. I just don't feel like I'm physically ready. I think I would need at least a year's training under my belt before I say yes.
If you think you need a year of training, I guess you're right. But if you think you need a month of training, you're also right.
Oh, really? Do you think I could step on the stage and place in a month?
Yep. My own experiences with amateur bodybuilding or physique competitions is that it's the entry point is not as high as we think it is. So if you want to compete in a physique show, I'm talking guys and girls listening to this podcast, you can do it and you could probably do a pretty decent job. But remember, it is a learning experience because the first competition, you may look 100%, but the times leading up to it, let's say your 10 or your poses or your show or your prep or even how you warm up, can make or break the actual performance on the day. And that's the same as like a powerlifting competition. If you can, I don't know, deadlift 250 kilos in a gym, that's very different to lifting it on a platform in front of people and in a competition. So yeah, I'd say go and do it, go and get the experience. And if the first one you don't do as well as you wanted to, that's okay. Screw it. It's a learning experience. Then you can get better at it. And then it could become a hobby of yours to do frequent competitions. So yeah, if you're thinking about doing it, I'm going to say just go and do it. And if you think you need a year to prepare, well, okay, you need a year. But if you think you could do it within a month or 3 months or the next competition that's closest to you, you can prepare for it and it won't take very long.
Oh, well, let's see what we do with the booty in the next 3 months. Okay. And this is definitely a big change. I am still very much on that, you know, setting goals, functional goals, health goals, and rather than weight goals and looks goals. But if I want to compete, that's going to be a very different mindset I'm going to have to take, because that will be placing a lot of emphasis on bringing body parts up and focusing on the way that I look. So yeah, it'll be a big thing.
Yeah. I think if I could speak about my experiences with bodybuilding, and I've spoken about it before in different mediums, is that when I walked away from my bodybuilding competition, I felt a better connection with my body. So I was able to contract certain muscle groups better, or I was able to rotate in better positions, and I had better just control over my body. So I was able to increase what I call like your physical IQ, you know, how you control it. So you may have a similar approach. So I guess one approach you can take is that it's a very vain way. It's how you're looking at your appearance and your how you look. And then another could be a performance avenue where you're learning, okay, how can I rotate my shoulders and flex my quads at the same time? Or how can I squeeze my, you know, hamstring group without contracting my glutes? So I think that is a very unique experience. And when I walked away, I felt like I had a much better control over different muscle groups, which is what I think is the difference between an intermediate and advanced trainer.
So here comes Max and Maxine's with the change of mindset again. Thank you very much. Yeah. I actually was talking to Big V through the challenge towards the end, and I was trying to practice some of his poses, and it is intense. It is a workout on its own. I was seriously, absolutely sweating just trying to get everything right.
Yeah.
I was shocked. And guess what? I'm meeting up with him on the weekend.
Great. Amazing. Good old Big V. Yeah, I think, you know, if I could speak about posing, what I used to do was I set up a tripod and a camera and I would film myself going through the bodybuilding poses. And, you know, I ended up winning the bodybuilding show that I did. And I think I won because I spent so much time on my poses. I wasn't the biggest guy on stage. I wasn't the leanest guy on stage by far, but I was able to, you know, twist and show certain parts of my body that made me look bigger on stage. And then I had the posing stamina. So I was able to hold poses for so much longer than everybody else. And everybody else, you know, you hit the front double biceps where you're just showing your biceps, and maybe 10 seconds in, people are losing their ability to contract, where I was still able to hold that contraction. So if you are considering competing, spend some time posing, get sweaty, use that as your cardio, and you'll probably find indirect benefits from that, such as increased resting muscle tone, plus some strength gains, plus some hypertrophy gains simply from flexing. So in saying that, like you said, the Flex Friday, if you're not part of Flex Friday, make sure you get on Flex Friday because there are other health benefits. You know, I was recently reading a study that said that flexing improves your blood pressure. So it helps to decrease your blood pressure. So yeah, here's my open invitation to go and flex more.
Oh, excellent. Backed by science and everything.
Love it. Nearly last question here. I want to talk about advice. So I'm sure many people have reached out to you on like social medias asking, you know, what did you do? What advice do you have? So someone came to you and said, Neroli, I want to get fit and healthy. What should I do? You know, what advice would you give somebody?
I think it's kind of the same as last time. I think the biggest advice is just to actually commit to it. Like, don't let yourself have excuses. Don't make excuses. You've decided you're going to do something. Just do it. It's only 3 months of your life. And then do it well, you know? If you don't like one of the meals, swap out that day so that every day you're enjoying the food that you're eating. And when you go to the gym, make sure that you're putting in 100% effort. I know some days that we can't and you need to have like a bit of a deload, and that's fine, but then get back up. and get going and change your mindset. So anything that pops up, you know, like I'm too tired. We all get really tired, but generally after you go and you do an exercise, like do a workout, you feel energized. You've got so much more energy. So you need to talk to yourself. So if you're like, oh, I'm too tired and I don't want to, then you need to replace that with, once I go and exercise, I'm going to feel more energized and have more energy for my day. Yeah, definitely mindset and positive self-talk.
I love that. Do it and do it well. And that idea of positive self-talk. Neroli, it's been great chatting with you. Let's wrap up the podcast there. I want to say thank you so much for donating your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And thank you for being a role model to so many out there in our community from such an amazing transformation that you did. So continue that there. Now, if someone was wanting to meet up with the Queensland crew and train together, do you want to just put in a little plug of where they can find you if they wanted to meet up with the crew?
Yes. If you want to come and work out with us, Wednesday night, 6:30. Rebel Parklands at Springfield. We are slightly changing it. There will be meetups at Springfield and there will be meetups at Wellington Point coming soon. But yes, every second Wednesday, Springfield Rebel, come and train with us, come and meet us, come and get amongst it.
I love it. Yes. Neroli, thank you so much and I'll chat to you sometime soon.
Thank you. Bye, Steve.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.